Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 145 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. In this episode, I get a chance to talk to two people that I've wanted to talk to for a long time, way before I started the podcast, way before the YouTube channel. They've been open since 2010. It is Gian Lee and Cody Taylor from Heirloom Market Barbecue in Atlanta, Georgia. They've been combining Korean flavors with barbecue and Texas barbecue flavors since the get-go, before it was something that people are doing now all the time, combining flavors from their own heritage with Texas barbecue or with barbecue. That's a more common thing than it was back then. It's interesting. They go into detail about everything about their restaurant, about the location, and about how homey and quaint it is, but it's not this big, fancy restaurant. They have lines out the door, but they get things. They're really efficient, and they have a great staff, the staff that's been there for a long time. Gian was a Korean pop star. Her first album came out in 1988. She had four albums after that. She was essentially, as Cody says, the Britney Spears of Korea at the time, which is amazing. And then she came to America and became a chef, and Cody and she worked in the same restaurant, and that's how they met. And we talk about the dynamics of how you go about being a couple and having a business, because number one, being a couple and having a business is difficult, but then being a couple, having a business, and that business being a restaurant and a barbecue restaurant is even more difficult. So we go into that. It's very, very interesting. They're great. You're going to want to visit when you go to Atlanta. Thanks so much, Cody and Gian, for doing this. Appreciate it. Oh, and I always forget, because I always want people to know, Heirloom Market Barbecue is open Tuesday through Saturday. They open at 11. On Saturdays, they open at 12 noon, and we get into that in the interview. You'll understand why. But they are not open on Sundays nor Mondays. And this podcast is sponsored by The Smoke Sheet. The Smoke Sheet is a barbecue newsletter, but it's so much more. It arrives every Wednesday in your email box, but it's not just like 40 links and it's done. It's not even 40 links. It's a lot more than that. But it's not just some kind of list. It's original content. They've had stories on barbecue podcasts, on how to get prepared and how to do a barbecue festival. They have an interesting one coming up on a whole hog barbecue. It's very well done. Ryan Cooper, who is at BBQ Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, who is at NYC BBQ, they know their stuff and they're traveling around a lot. If you follow their social media, you can see daily, or if not weekly, they're somewhere barbecue related or doing something barbecue related or sharing barbecue news. And they met up. They started this, and it's a great resource. It has barbecue news. It has information on festivals, barbecue festivals that are coming up, so that way you don't miss out. There's a barbecue recipe of the week. There's openings and closures. They discuss where pitmasters are moving or new things that are happening within the barbecue world, or for restaurants expanding to a second restaurant. It's chock full of information. Oh, and it also has links to things like this, to barbecue YouTube stuff and barbecue Vimeo stuff and barbecue podcasts. So it's chock full of information. I know you're going to dig it. It's something that you really like. It's super easy to sign up. Just go to bbqnewsletter.com. That's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet is barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on anything. I do have a YouTube channel. If you're just listening to these on the podcast, it's youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints, where you can see, for instance, Gian and Cody talk and their interactions. I have all these in YouTube form, as well as barbecue joint visits and butcher shop visits, anything else meat related. So it's worth checking out the YouTube channel. Comment below. Let me know what you think. Rate it. I think you're supposed to rate these, and that way it helps me out somehow. I don't really understand that, but I definitely appreciate all your feedback. So write me a note on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and I'll get back to you, and we could share barbecue information and continue to grow this barbecue world. I have a lot of really cool ones coming up, but this one's really cool. And also I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com where you can check out links to all the podcasts and YouTube stuff, so that way you don't have to miss out on anything. Thanks so much for listening. I do greatly appreciate it. There's a lot of options out there, so I appreciate you checking this out.
Well, good afternoon, guys. Well, I guess it's almost, are you on East Coast time, or are you Central time?
5 p.m. here.
East Coast.
I want to cut back to kind of where you started. You grew up in Korea, right?
Yeah.
And you were you a Korean pop star? Is that what I had read before?
Used to be.
Does that feel like a million years ago?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I started motoring for teen magazine.
Okay.
And then my first album came 1988 when I was in high school. And then I got 4 albums after.
Did you travel all around Korea mostly, or what, were you traveling worldwide?
Back then, I traveled a lot. Of course, Korea, and of course, Japan a lot for performing. Some concert in U.S. too for Korean society. It was quite fun. And
was it insane like it is nowadays, like with the Korean pop stars and stuff, or was it a little more? Because you had like a manager, so you had kind of like a set schedule, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of. I guess for her, it was kind of like that was back. She was like one of the original K-pop stars. So it's like the kind of like Britney Spears big during her day. I think all the albums were pretty much number one, you know. So
that's awesome. That's
so yeah. She was like a model for Samsung and Coca-Cola and stuff like that too. Like she has posters.
Do you have anything that's out like in your house that from those days, or do you keep that like in a storage bin or something?
Like albums.
You have the albums in your.
You want to see?
episode 2. But is that how did you guys meet in that? I never knew how you guys.
No, we met in a restaurant. I've been in the restaurant business since I was 15, just always cooking. We met in a more of an upscale fine dining restaurant called Repast here in Atlanta. It's she was pretty new out of culinary school, and I was a sous chef over there.
I was doing internship.
At that same restaurant?
She was doing her internship there, so we met that way. It was a kind of a New Orleans meets Japanese husband and wife team, so it's very similar to...
Yeah, it is very similar.
You know, I'm from Texas and Tennessee, and she's from Seoul, so we kind of see a lot of that in our barbecue, too.
And you guys, I've been thinking about it since like the build-up to talking to you guys. You guys were on the forefront of what's happening now, right now, because there's a lot of... I guess I hate to say fusion because that's such a weird word to say, but that's happening a lot now. It doesn't seem like that was happening when you guys opened your restaurant.
No, I don't think there was any kind of that move towards putting, you know, Korean ingredients into barbecue. You never really saw that. I mean, we were doing it in 2010. You see it more now, even with like hometown barbecue. You know, he has a different style of wings and stuff on his menu. You see little pieces of it. For us, it was just us being ourselves. So that's how we, you know, kind of started dating and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you guys cooking for each other, and that's what sparked the idea to do a restaurant, or what sparked the idea to start a restaurant?
It's really like a natural, you know, when not the our refrigerator is full of American stuff and Korean stuff. You know, when you open it, you smell kimchi. You know, like my condiments and his condiments. So when we cook together, I use his ingredients. He used my ingredients. It's just natural. It's never really tried to. We sit down and how we cooperate this. We never actually experiment things. Just naturally we did. So that affect to the even barbecue too.
Were you planning on doing a barbecue restaurant? Is that something, Cody, you'd always want to do?
I always wanted to do. I think I spent a lot of my time in, you know, in all aspects of the you know, in cooking. I did, you know, very high-end stuff, and I also, you know, did very, you know, family-style stuff. But barbecue was always intriguing to me. So I've probably been to over 400 barbecue restaurants, and none of them in the last 10 years, because I just did that for, you know, because it was, like, affordable fun, you know, for me. When GPS was invented, I was like, cool, now I can actually... you know, drive through Alabama and Mississippi and the Carolinas and find all these barbecue restaurants. So I went to so many, and it was always, the culture of it was always so intriguing. I never worked in a barbecue restaurant. I grew up around it. You know, my family was Texas ranchers, and I grew up in the Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee, and, you know, barbecue was always kind of like a cultural thing, you know. And I did cook a lot of ribs, but I never worked in a rib restaurant, you know, and, you know, cooking at home and stuff like that. So we went to Korea in 2010, actually the summer before we opened, and we were doing a TV show. She was doing it. It was a TV show really about her. I just happened to be invited to be on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was like a French chef, an American chef, and a Korean chef. So we traveled around Korea making all their ingredients in their pantry and stuff like that, miso and small villages.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Doing royal cuisine up in the mountains, like 800-year-old prince palaces, doing stone bowls. And so... I started seeing all this, you know, the pickling, the fermenting, it's very similar, just, you know, completely different in technique and, you know, aspect wise, but the concept of serving pickles with roasted meat was there.
That goes way back. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was inspiring. The gochujang, you know, they were marinating, you know, like pork belly and cooking it. You know, I was like, wow. So, you know, when I got home, I started smoking ribs with gochujang and, you know what I mean? All that kind of incorporated. So it really happened when I saw the ingredients in Korea. You know, it makes a lot of sense if we open a barbecue restaurant. You know, and she brought in the incorporation of it.
Was there a big Korean community in Atlanta at all, or is there a big?
It's huge.
Oh, it is. So,
you know, you're in LA, which is the biggest. I think Duluth, you know, kind of the county I went to high school in now is It's the biggest one in the South.
Okay.
So it's like here and maybe Chicago or New York, and then, you know, LA is the largest one. But we have a very huge Korean population. So she would show me. I lived in Little Korea before I met her. That's where I was living.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Not much about Korean food outside of your typical Korean barbecue kind of stuff.
So you were, yeah, and that's, I think a lot of people too, even in LA, I think a lot of people haven't gone to a Korean restaurant. They've only had Korean barbecue here in LA. And it's so diverse.
Yeah, when we went there, we went to a Korean barbecue too. But yeah, it's so diverse, and that was part of our
too. A little very diverse. So easy to get all the ingredients, the Korean pantry items, always available. It's a big thing for us.
So then, when you guys set out to open the restaurant, did you guys set the menu? Like, how did you go about the menu preparation, and what was the reception at first?
We winged it. Yeah, pretty much. we didn't have a big test budget for it, I'll tell you that. We cooked like once or twice and then we opened. It was pretty.
Oh, wow.
So when we made the menu, like, I was like, you know, I didn't really grow up with collard greens, you know, because my mom and most of my family is Texan, so you don't get a ton of collard greens. But so she made collard greens for the menu using miso.
It was like, I was freaked out a little bit. But she asked me, make some collard greens. I never made collard greens before. Okay, and then, but I taste a lot because I love certain food. Mm-hmm. So, but when I taste the collard greens in good place, remind me my grandmother's the soup with the greens. It's a different type of green, but she adding some doenjang, which is Korean miso. Very tough greens, and that kind of pungent flavor that normally we get from when people cooking collard green with the ham hock.
Yeah,
have that little like ferment, the pungent flavor, right? So I did just exactly what my grandmother cooked the green. So I added some like rice wine vinegar, and instead of the regular. And we started with the pork belly. Now we do the turkey, but so just like that, the connection, you know, it's not like create something. That's the connection from my memories from childhood, and the remember that flavor I really like. From soul food places, that's the connection. So that's how we found it, flavor wise. It's more like, it's not like, let's do this, change the recipes and bring this and this. Not like that. It's just we just naturally connected that point.
And it was food that you guys liked, right? That was what you were creating.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, one of her favorite foods is, you know, barbecue and, you know, Southern meat and threes. So that was kind of where our connection originally, when we first started dating, I would take her to barbecue, American, you know, like, what she thought was good, I didn't necessarily agree with, so I took her to places I thought was good.
Okay, yeah.
So we did a lot of traveling and many places through, all the South and in Texas and, and then she would take me and show me what was really going on in the Korean restaurants besides, you know, just your your grilled meats. It really, you know, it became really natural. I mean, one of the items we're most known for was our kimchi slaw. Mm-hmm. And the first year we opened, you know, everything's on a budget when you're in a restaurant. So, like, our walk-in coolers locate outside because our space is very small. It's only 800 square feet. So it froze, you know. So the cabbage that we cut for regular coleslaw was a little bit frozen, like, kind of on the outside, but not necessarily good to use for regular coleslaw. But the inspiration for her was to make kimchi out of it, because that's what they do in Korea. First hard freeze of cabbage, then they bury it in the ground. So we made a kimchi base. So it's basically just it's everything that would be kimchi, but just unfermented, like a fresh coleslaw, which, you know, was like kimchi slaw. So we started using that with the pork. And
there was a lot of cabbage.
Yeah.
So it's almost like nature, like things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
It
was the first month we were open, you know, so yeah. Everything. And then next came, like, she'd make a Korean barbecue sauce that really goes good. It's really popular, like, in a certain region. It reminded me of the flavor when I was in Korea, like this really famous grilled chicken Korean barbecue restaurant. You know, it's a very similar sauce to what they would serve at that restaurant, but it goes great with brisket, you know, and ribs for us. So it's very similar. Mm-hmm. It kind of started to make sense. So it happened naturally over the first few months.
Yeah, one of our signature, the spicy Korean pork sandwich, the same, with a lot of trims from the ribs. So it's so tough. And it's like, what are we going to do with this, you know? Mm-hmm. So we smoke it, dice them, and mix with gochujang and, you know, the Korean pantry. And that once frozen, the cabbage turned to kimchi. We put it on and,
and we started making kimchi pickles and, you know, a lot of kimchi stuff started coming through mm-hmm. the pipeline. You know, we started getting inspiration from the banchan, the side dishes mm-hmm. that you get at Korean barbecue.
Which are just like, I just went like last weekend. It was so, I could eat just that.
You know, it's really great.
Because the one thing, you know, when we go the barbecue restaurant, it's so heavy. Mm-hmm. All the side items are so heavy too. That was my little issue going out to eat at barbecue restaurant. Our restaurant, the area market, we adopt that Korean. You know, when you go to a Korean restaurant, you see a lot of side mm-hmm. dishes, mostly vegetables and pickles and stuff, and that actually balanced the whole meal.
I agree.
For texture, even digestion and temperature-wise, the flavor-wise, try to balance in one meal. And so that's what we are trying to do at Heirloom. When somebody order brisket or ribs, and you have kimchi slaw, you have cucumber kimchi, you have daikon radish salad. The things that
I'm still a fool for never having come yet.
Still getting bacon cheese, but it's a balance.
We have best French fries and best mac and cheese. But when you eat all other that Korean banchan style together, and you won't feel like stuffed. Mm-hmm. It digests so much better. So we didn't really start it like that. And we didn't really focus like that. It just naturally.
Yeah. It made its way mm-hmm. to the special board, and then, you know, kind of started creeping in. Every time we did a fried item, whether it be okra, sweet potatoes, or onion rings, we always do a Korean tempura. We always have since day one. I think day one I did it like southern style, like cornmeal. I was like, all right, let's go to Koreans. You know, it works better too. It actually super crispy. And, at the beginning, I remember watching people come up and they see tofu and spicy Korean pork on our special board and kind of do a U-turn.
Yeah, I was going to say, like in 2010, I don't think people were ready for this.
Yeah.
They must have been, though.
Yeah, people, I mean, we got quite a bit of publicity because it was so different. Mm-hmm. And so people would come in and try. So the people leaving after they saw tofu on the menu wouldn't be as, you know, now you know, got busy really quickly. It was great for that.
Yeah, like I had heard about you, I think, almost maybe 6 months after you guys opened, and it's been pretty steady ever since, right? It's been I've seen you on so many different TV shows, like random things, like it'll be like a random sandwich thing or something. But now with the way that has the menu evolved, or is it pretty much the same as it was day one?
Oh no, it's definitely evolved. I mean, just the use of the gochujang, a lot happened in the first like month, and it kind of developed that way. I say really our special board, and we've always, when we opened from day one, I guess you could say this, is we always had the Korean pantry because we literally brought our pantry from our house. So the rubs, there's a lot of Korean red pepper flake, you know, the gochugaru, because that's what we had. And the mac and cheese has it, the Brunswick stew, and everything like that.
So what's on your menu for people? I know you guys are closed on Sundays and Mondays, right?
Yes.
And you guys are open at 11 o'clock?
We open at 11, pretty much 11 to 8, you know, 11 to 9. Saturdays we open at 12. It's a weird story. It's because I needed an extra hour of sleep, so we never, because we stayed open so late. You know, we were so late on Friday.
Miserable at the beginning.
Yeah.
So oh my god.
We opened at 12 on Saturday. Still
can't work like that anymore.
Yeah, that was just an extra hour. Yeah, it was this crazy amount of, you know, small business problems.
Well, that makes sense. Is your menu available all day, or do you sell out of the brisket, or you sell?
We sell out quite a bit of stuff, but we have. You know, there's quite a bit of options. So, we'll always have maybe like smoked wings or something left. Yeah, we do sell out. Like, you know, Father's Day weekend, we were done it pretty early. It really depends.
Is it meat market style?
Yeah, a little bit. Originally, the name, you know, Heirloom Market was kind of a throw to my heritage, being from the Texas. There's nobody in Georgia using market in their name, but so. I mean, everything's kind of packaged to go, and we don't have chairs either, so you like stand up, and it's very communal on the patio.
And I think Jim Ockmoody said there was like a little secret if you go to a coffee place or something. Or
oh, okay, did he mention that?
Yeah.
Smoke Lore, is that in that book?
I don't know. I interviewed him about Georgia barbecue, and you guys, we talked about you guys specifically, and he said, oh, here's a little tip. There's a like a complex or something with a coffee.
Yeah, our building originally was a liquor store for the complex, but it got sold separate maybe in the 80s or something.
Okay.
There's a very famous apartment complex behind us called Riverbed. It was like the number one party place in Playboy magazine in the 70s. Like, Catch Me If You Can, that guy, he lived there.
Oh, really? That guy?
It's famous. So, well, the main river that runs through our city is right back there. So there's a coffee shop that has great coffee. We're friends with all of them. So if you get through the gate, like you're going to the coffee shop, you can go, and it's very shaded, beautiful setting on the Chattahoochee River.
So get some coffee and coffee with your barbecue, right?
Yeah, it's, yes, it's actually...
It's a hidden place.
It is a little hidden place right there.
Even that people doesn't know.
Yeah. We send friends and family back there, too, okay. You know. So it's really a great spot. I'm surprised he knew about it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. He must have maybe heard it from, may overheard it from somebody. I'm not sure. He didn't tell me how he knew about it, but he just said this is like a little secret thing that people do. So is everything to go, even the, like, do you have every, like, do you slice to order, or do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely slice everything to order. Oh, you mean package to go? No, I mean, we used to have tables and chairs when we were originally open.
Oh, okay.
And so we used to put it kind of, you know, the tray, like we had like 20 seats.
Gotcha.
And we had a like a tray style that we set up, what you see a lot of other places. And then the DOT came in like 2012 or 13, and we were causing a traffic problem on the road, so they made us take the chairs out.
Oh,
it was like a negotiation I had with the commissioner. He's like, you can use the patio, but you can't have chairs anymore.
Okay.
Or vice versa. You can have chairs, but you can't have the patio. You know, because people were just parking all over the road. And the Atlanta Braves were moving locations to our county, so they were building a stadium and, like, making it nice. It's, like, right up the road. So they were doing all this, you know, sidewalks and beautification, and basically all the barbecue people just parked all over the place, you know.
As they do.
Yeah. So, I guess it's... the big city kind of parking problem.
So was the area like an up and coming area when you guys first opened, and now it's like a booming area? Have you seen it change? Kind of?
It's a lot cleaner now.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, the Braves came. They made it nice. You know, because they wanted to sell it to. I mean, you can walk to the Braves Stadium from our parking lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's about a mile. Yeah, so it's changed quite a bit, but we're like on a little island. It's like an old 19. I mean, this convenience store has been famous. It's been known forever. It's like the Magic Mart. It's been there for a long time. It's zoned residential, but it's just grandfathered in like a little old convenience store. We share it with, basically, a packet, kind of like a package, and
And it's not luxury.
Yeah,
I'm telling
it's
you.
Very.
It's not. It's not a high end restaurant. It's only 2 Michelin stars.
It's really, really cute. It's such a happy place.
Yeah, but for me, I love those kind of in the barbecue places, the little kitschy, like the roadside small little places I like so much. Now just about every new barbecue restaurant you see coming out, it's like, super clean and super, well thought out. They got, special design company and, their logo and everything's very, very precise.
Very deliberate,
yeah.
Yeah. We both really appreciate mom and pops.
Yeah.
So do I. Ah, that's
what I love. You know how hard work behind, and there's no like corporation mind, so we try to keep like that, keep that this very friendly place, affordable but delicious.
I can't count if there's a customer that comes up to talk to me and doesn't ask me when I'm moving to a bigger spot. It's the most constant question ever. Have you ever thought about opening a bigger restaurant? Never.
Yeah.
Just
ask
now.
Like Saturday, a lot of Korean people live in Atlanta. They visit Arrow Market because they looking for me. And most people looks kind of a little disappointed how it look, because they think, maybe Jian's restaurant must be some like luxury, whatever, bling bling. It's such a it's a small shack, but it has something special feeling there.
No, that's what I've heard.
We take you to the coffee too.
There's a lot of off the beaten path places as well as your place.
Yeah, I mean, we're off the beaten path too, but there's a lot going on in Atlanta now. With barbecue restaurants. Mm-hmm. And not just that, it's different from north to south, north Georgia. There's a lot of well-known places in south Georgia too. There's like 600-700 barbecue restaurants in Georgia now.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cause the barbecue boom really happened after we opened, and before we opened I could remember looking on the Georgia Barbecue Association. I knew there was, like 580 back then. Mm-hmm. So the barbecue became very popular in the last, 5 years. So there's a lot more opening. But we did a speaking segment at that when they opened the exhibit. We were there, and our menu's hanging up in the.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I think it ends in late September or October, because I'd love to go to it. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They did a really good job with the setup, and you can see a lot of history. It's very well done.
Are you guys going to, because I had heard that you're going to open another, you're going to open another barbecue restaurant. Is that something you still want to do someday, or do you think you want to stay focused? And how do you guys keep it together? Has it been tough relationship? Because opening a restaurant with someone that you love, it's not easy.
Oh, yeah. The beginning was very hard.
We bit up so bad at the beginning.
We were washing our own towels and stuff, and realized, you can't do barbecue laundry. This is, it's a different level of black and red, it's like our machine is broken. There was a lot of little growing pains, of course. But we have such a good team now. It's like, 70% of our kitchen has been there more than 5 years. So I think the person that's been there the least amount of time has been there over 1 year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing in the front. I mean, all in all, about 80% of our staff has been there around plus years. And we've had people who have been there, of course, 8 years. And, you know, the newest people, I haven't hired anybody really except to deliver for catering in the last year that I can think of. Maybe one girl, you know, for the front of the house. So
that says a lot about you guys and how you guys treat your employees and the passion that you guys have for what you're doing.
Yeah. And they really enjoy it. I mean, how often in the restaurant business, I thought, you know, that you close 2 days a week, Sunday and Monday. Sure. So they automatically know they're going to be off those 2 days. Sure, we have our butcher and somebody else, you know, coming in on Mondays to help with the getting the pickling and some of the, you know, smoking for the next day. But everybody, you know, they can have a better lifestyle that way. Mm-hmm. So it actually worked out.
And we've been on each position, you know, from pitmaster to dishwash. We know each station. Sure. We know how hard it is. So we appreciate that they're running a restaurant and we can take a vacation. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Amazing. You know how I can't thank enough for them. Because it is really, really hard working.
I know it's not easy.
They make it look pretty easy these days. They're like, oh, you know, even though we're busy as we've ever been, they've gotten so good at it working as a team that they think it's easier. I think we're slower, but no, we're not slower. It's just you made
more
it
efficient. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. When we check the how's the business today, and then it's like kind of slow, but when I see the number, oh my God.
Yeah, we never expected to be that busy out of that little place. It was pretty crazy.
Never thought.
And I think too, if you do move or if you got a bigger place, there's a different headache. It's a different.
Yeah, you lose the character too. And
yeah.
And do you think? Do you guys make us a Korean type sausage, or is your sausage more Texas style?
Yeah, it's a more Texas style. We used to, when we made the sausage in house, we made gochujang andouille, which is just basically, you know, a Louisiana with a lot of gochujang in it. I used to make miso bratwurst and all sorts of kimchi bologna. We did it. People just they loved it, but, you know, it was a lot of work to do over there. I ran out of space in my meat cooler, so we stopped doing it. So the guy that originally came and we did it together, Colin Miles, he's with Pigman Goods. So now we purchase a jalapeno cheddar wurst. He started his own little company in the last year. So we actually get it from him.
Okay. I saw that on the menu, yeah.
Yeah, the jalapeno cheddar wurst. We used to make it in-house.
Yeah, we were more passionate, more visionary before. Now getting old
now
and
tired. Yeah.
No, but also you know what kind of works. I think you understand what makes sense. And then time-wise, like, there is that kind of that equation that you have to look at it.
Yeah. Well, it was really space. And
space, like, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe, I don't know if you saw on Bizarre Foods back then when Andrew Zimmern came, we did a lot of, we were doing a lot of charcuterie and meats and all sorts of stuff. So it was, we actually had a pretty big program, you know, nori hot dogs and, you know, like seaweed hot dogs and all this, you know. So we were definitely on the forefront of doing all that back in, you know, you see it a little bit more now.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, yeah, I didn't know anybody making kimchi bologna back in like 2012.
I still don't see a lot of kimchi bologna or nori hot dogs. That sounds so interesting. Is it really salty, or is it
we do a different blend of seaweed, you know.
It developed more umami flavor.
And then we would make corn dogs out of it. Because in Korea, that's what they call hot dog. Is actually a corn dog. Yeah.
The same shape, but it's no cornmeal.
Huh.
It's just like corn dog. Right. But we call it hot dog. Maybe hot dog, they maybe call it sandwich. I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's kind of like a debate. I think people are like, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, It's not a sandwich.
No way it's a sandwich. No way. Well, that's cool. Well, then do you guys foresee, like, so this could go on for a long time. Do you still want to live in Atlanta? Like, is that something that you want to stay in Atlanta? Or do you see 20 years from now, you guys see yourself somewhere else? Or do you love living in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, my family lives here, and we've loved Atlanta for a long time. Maybe we used to talk about, originally, the idea was to open up American barbecue restaurants in Korea, and there was nobody there serving barbecue at all. when we opened here. So that was kind of the general idea that we were kind of moving that way for a while. And then we decided that, you know, maybe we just want to we don't have those big
simple life.
Keep it simple.
No, I think I had read there somewhere that you were going to open a restaurant in Seoul. From your passion from listening to this, it's something that you love doing. So it doesn't make, and then you get to travel too.
Yeah, you get to travel. You know, you don't get too far from your restaurant. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm going up there to make cream corn today because it's 'tis the season and everybody's requesting it. I mean, we're closed, but I'll be heading up there right now to make it. And we go in and work with smokers and cover some shifts here and there. And it's really, like I said, the team is all already in place. Why do you want to create more stress?
Yeah.
You know, we're in our 40s and, you know, it's like.
Yeah, so am I. So I understand.
It's like you create more work mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you're 50 and you didn't get to sit 60 and, mm-hmm. you know, missed out on those travel times. Like, we'll see. I mean, we got a couple projects in the works. Not necessarily restaurant stuff, some creative space and, you know, ideas even for, you know, making videos and making cookbooks and, you know, even like.
There's a huge place. I think there's a big place for that. I don't see a lot of Korean blend. I see a minimal. I see a little bit of Thai and a little bit of Japanese, but I think there's a space for you guys.
Yeah.
In that world.
Yeah. So we have a couple things to work, but we're not really trying to push too much, you know. Like, I love going to Dublin every year when we see Christian and some of those guys over there cooking. It's called the Big Grill Festival. You should come over for it.
I want to. It looks insane.
Yeah, it's fun. All the people are really great. To all the Irish, it's mainly Irish and English guys.
Well, my name's Kevin Kelly. I should definitely visit.
Yeah,
I have no excuse for the Irish. I've never visited Dublin. I want to visit so badly.
Yeah, the people are great. So it's a great way to get out of the August heat here in Atlanta too. By August, you're ready to get out.
Yeah, that's only probably in August is when you think we should maybe move out of Atlanta, and then come like the fall. It's probably beautiful and wonderful.
Oh yes, yeah. Spring and fall is great here. So,
well, what else should people know about your restaurant? Is there anything else that we missed at all? Because I'm just thankful that you guys took the time, because I've wanted to talk to you for a long time, and then I think you and I have been going back and forth for about a year.
A year, yeah. Like I said, I mean, for us, it was just, you know, as always us, just, you know, not trying to copy anybody, just be ourselves, you know, and I think that's very important in barbecue now as it's kind of developing, you know, anybody out there is, you don't have to be a certain style, or, you know, it's kind of, you know, if you're looking to be a little bit more creative with it, with barbecue, even though we love the classics, of course, people can be themselves a little bit more. You know, when we started doing it in 2010, it was, you know, the perception was, you know, if you're in Georgia, it's like, you know, just this way.
Exactly.
The uniqueness about Heirloom is diverse. Diversity is definitely, it's food-wise, even staff, even customers. You know, when you go barbecue restaurant someplace, like either African-American or white people, kind of like separation. Mm-hmm. But our restaurant is all mixed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
our staff and our and customers. That was one of the best things was Bill Addison. He's writing for your mm-hmm. for you guys now over in LA.
Yeah,
he said that we were the most diverse restaurant in Atlanta. And to say that about a barbecue restaurant, yeah, like as far as like our customer base mm-hmm. and you know what I mean. So that was pretty cool.
Have you seen it change at all since like Instagram and people being crazy, or is it just kind of stayed the same?
Pretty much stayed the same.
Stayed the same.
Yeah.
Always steady.
I guess it's more of like the new barbecue places that are getting swamped with like the Instagram crowd and those kind of people. Like it's a you guys have been around for a long time.
We were pre-Instagram.
Free Twitter, free everything, right?
Yeah.
Was the internet around when you guys first opened? I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's just starting, right? Wasn't it just
wasn't like social media thing much.
Yeah.
There was a lot more bloggers and stuff probably, right?
Like, yeah, there was. Blogs were a lot bigger, like website blogs were a lot bigger back then.
I think like the Daniel Vaughn, I think I read it when he visited you guys.
Of course, yeah, I've hung out with Daniel a few times, yeah. We hung out with him in Dallas, and he's come to our restaurant a couple times. The first time he came, I didn't speak with him, and then we became friends over the years. And so what, like my grandparents living in East Texas. So when I fly into Dallas, sometimes we'd meet up and go around.
That's nice.
He really loved it because it was, you know, a lot different, you know, the whole brisket boom everywhere. So
different, but good.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
I love how you're describing it. Cause it's true. That's kind of, and it's, I love how you still love what you're doing, the food that you're putting out.
Yeah.
You're proud of it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for like a roadside barbecue shack, that's what I always wanted to do, you know, and it has to be good. It can't be, you know, I mean, if you don't have chairs or alcohol and you expect people to come, you have to be pretty good. You know, there's, you don't have the creature comforts.
Mm-hmm.
It's 92 degrees and people are standing up outside to eat, you know, literally no chairs.
Mm-hmm.
People should know that. Don't expect chairs.
Okay, that's actually like a good takeaway from this. Like, there's no chairs.
But you can buy beer next door and bring it over. You know? You can tailgate. Yeah.
In the stand in the patio area? Is that what people are doing? Is that?
Yeah, we have fans and a big giant umbrella and you know, stainless table. You know, it's like during lunch, there'll be like 50, 60 people standing up on the patio, 40 people. You know, it just depends on how many cars you can get in the parking lot.
Do you have dessert too?
Yeah, banana pudding. Yeah,
of course.
Banana pudding and turkeys.
Pecan pie.
Pecan pie sometimes. Yeah, a good friend of ours She used to work with us at the restaurant, but then she also is a pastry chef, so she makes our desserts and brings them.
Oh, that's so great.
So basically, they're homemade. Not necessarily. I mean, basically in house. It's just from a friend that you know we don't have room, so it's a space thing for us a lot of time. I do recommend if you want to come to avoid 11:30 to 1:30, if you're smart, come there between 11 and 11:30, and there's, you know, it's very nice and smooth to get in and out. If you come at 12:15,
better.
Crazy, yeah, because we have so many big office buildings, the Weather Channel. The Weather Channel's up the street. Coca-Cola, you know, has a headquarters right there.
I've heard of those two. Those are pretty big. They're huge.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. Same thing with Home Depot's up the road. And so there's a, you know, or come after 2:00,
mm-hmm.
you know, between like 2 and 6, and it's very comfortable.
That's a great tip. No, that's a great tip for people because some people like the madness, but most people don't.
Yeah. I mean, we move very quickly, though. I mean, the line moves very fast. It's not. The line's not for looks. It's, you know, some people kind of move slow through lines. We are very efficient.
Our staff.
Everything's getting cut.
I don't know how they do that, but
trying to get. No, that's great. No, you've trained. You've instilled something.
They didn't train. Yeah. They put themselves.
Yeah, a sense of urgency. They have a sense of urgency. And, yeah.
Yeah, you give them. Yeah, you know, it moves very quickly. So don't be intimidated by lines. Okay. But if you don't like. You know, the parking lot is relatively small, so I do recommend, you know, coming before 11:30 or after 1:30 if you have that ability. I don't really go, I mean, we park in the apartment complex behind the secret coffee shop. You know, I don't even attempt to pull in the parking lot at noon.
Okay.
I don't even look at it. You know, I don't even bother to think I'm going to get a parking spot. You know,
that's okay. That's huge. If you're not even trying to, yeah.
I go straight to the coffee shop, park, and then come up. Yeah. Gosh.
Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you, and good luck making the cream corn today. But thank you guys for taking the time, and I can't wait to meet both you guys in person. But I feel like I've met you guys, and that was sort of the reason why I wanted to do this was for people to get a chance to meet you because I do a YouTube and a podcast version of this, so they'll get to see you guys and. And I'm excited. I'll reach out ahead of time before I come out.
Yeah, definitely. That's why, you know, speaking of Daniel Vaughn, I thought he said we had the best cream corn he's ever had. And that's kind of why I mentioned I'm actually going to make it because I keep having to make it because I started making it when he was coming around. And then people were like, oh, you have it every, you know, I get my emails, Cody, where's the okra? Where's the cream corn? So we have a. You know, we've been around long enough that if we don't have certain things during certain seasons.
And he used fresh corn.
Yeah.
Not the frozen corn.
So you're cutting it off the cob.
Yeah, it takes forever to make like 2 gallons, you know, which is a small amount in barbecue. It's like,
yeah, that's nothing. Yeah. That's cool. Okay, well, I'll make sure I come drink. So if I come in the fall, you won't have cream corn, probably.
Right? I can make it. You just got to text or eat. We got my
phone number now, so I can.
That's what Daniel does when he comes in town. He's like, "Hey, I'm coming in town. You can have cream corn." Apparently so.
I guess I am. well, that's a great note. Well, both of you guys have a great week. Thank you so much, and thank you guys for doing what you're doing. I appreciate it, and thousands of people do too. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, cool. Well, and thanks for making this happen, and have a great week.
All right, you too. Go.
All right, take care.